For the last couple of weeks, we've taken a slight detour from that to consider the advent of Jesus Christ. That is just the arrival of Jesus coming into this world, and we've looked at the promise of Jesus, the anticipation leading up to the coming of Jesus. How many of you guys are anticipating Christmas Eve or maybe Christmas morning? Yeah, a couple of us, okay. And now tonight, this all things culminating leads us up to the arrival of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, I didn't grow up going to church a whole lot, but we had a tradition every Christmas Eve. You guys have traditions you do at Christmas? Yeah? We had a tradition in our house every Christmas Eve that before we opened presents, we would read from the book of Luke. We had a family Bible, and we would read Luke, the first, you know, 21 chapters of the book of Luke. 21 verses, sorry. And then my mom had this little ceramic nativity baby Jesus thing, and she would hide it somewhere in the house. And my sister and I had to find baby Jesus before we opened presents. And so we'd read from Luke 2, find baby Jesus, then we could open presents. And so preaching on Christmas Eve is kind of a new tradition for me, in case you didn't know that. So I thought maybe we'd keep the scripture the same and read from Luke chapter 2 tonight. And I'm not going to be sending you guys out to find a nativity figurine, but our hope and prayer is that we'll all encounter the living Jesus Christ tonight. And so, if you have a device or a Bible, you can open that up. We are going to have the words on the screen tonight, since it's kind of dark in here. But would you just, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. If you just bow your hearts with me in another word of prayer before we read God's word. Father, we thank you again for tonight. And Lord, as we read your holy word, we recognize there's power in it. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of joints and marrow, of soul and spirit, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so, Lord, as we simply read it, would you pierce our hearts and discern the thoughts and intentions of our hearts tonight, and teach us what you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this is Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. So in these days, Israel was under Roman rule. Caesar Augustus was the emperor, and at this time he calls for a census. And at this time when he called for a census, you were required by law to go to your hometown, the town where your family was from, where your original ancestors came from, to register for the census and to be taxed. And so Joseph and Mary, we know, were in Nazareth. And so they had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census. Nazareth was up in the northern part of Israel, and Bethlehem was just south of Jerusalem, more in the middle part of the country. But it's about 90 miles. It's about a 90-mile journey. So it's about the same distance as from here to Beaverton. And so the next time you take the kids up to Chuck E. Cheese, you can remind them, hey, Mary and Joseph had to walk this whole distance. It's a long ways to walk. Probably took them about 7 to 10 days by walking or riding a donkey, perhaps. We don't know, but it would have been a challenging trip for them. And they arrive in Bethlehem, and when they get there, it's time for Mary to give birth. And because of the census, the number of people in Bethlehem, the population, I guess you could say, was surging. There was a bunch of people in town for the census, and all the customary places to stay were full. It'd be like, probably like trying to get a last-minute hotel room on like Hood to Coast weekend or something like that, I imagine. And we don't know, but it's probably likely that the number of animals would have soared at this time as well, because everybody would have been riding their donkey in or, you know, in to get to this place if they were traveling from some distance. And they would have kept animals sometimes in a cave, you know, nearby where they were staying. Sometimes there would have been a stable somewhere, you know, nearby. But many times, actually, in the first century, the animals would have stayed on the ground floor of someone's house, where they'd had a place for, you know, the critters to come in and stay at night and get fed. And so, but we, from the scriptures, we don't know exactly where the birth of Jesus took place, whether it was, you know, in that certain part of the house, or whether it was in a barn or a stable out back or in a cave or whatever. But this is what we do know clearly from the scriptures here, is that there was no room where the humans stayed. Where people would normally stay, there was no room for them. And so someone made a place for them with the livestock. Wherever it was they showed up to, we don't know. He said, well, yeah, sorry, we're all full, but you can sleep with the critters back here. If, you know, that's all we got. And so that's evidently where they were. Now, I've had animals for quite a few years, and any of you guys have animals? Like any kind of animals? Yeah, cows, chickens, goats, you know, some kind of pet animals or whatever, 4-H animals or something. I've built a lot of little sheds, like chicken coops and stuff over the year, you know, goat sheds or whatever. And when you build them, it's all really nice. You know, all the wood's really shiny, and you put clean straw on the bottom, and you know, it's great, and it looks cool, and you take pictures, put them on Facebook, and you're, oh, check out them with my goats, you know, my little stable thing. And that's most nativity scenes we see look like that, right? They're really clean, and they smell really good, well-lit, lots of lighting, you know. But in reality, if you have had animals, you know that that lasts about 5 minutes, right? Wherever you keep the animals, it turns dark, dingy, muddy, full of poop and pee. All the wood is splintered, moldy, cobwebs everywhere, and it doesn't take long. And when you go into your nice little, you know, barn, it's just like feels disgusting in there. I would suggest to you that it probably wasn't a really clean, nice, well-lit, cute little nativity scene like we see, but it was probably kind of gross. It probably didn't feel very good to give birth with the livestock, with the place where animals would have eaten. And for the lack of a proper crib, they laid him in a manger or a feed trough that the animals would have eaten out of. And this just demonstrates the humble circumstances in which our Lord entered into the world that he himself created. Unbelievable. Let's move on here. Verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so in this surrounding area around Bethlehem, evidently there was some fields and where they would keep the sheep, and the shepherds were out watching the sheep at night, keeping an eye on them, perhaps a night like tonight, probably dark. And the angels appear, and it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. And it says great fear. They were filled with great fear. So I don't know what the glory of the Lord shining around you looks like, but I imagine it was some kind of bright light. Whatever it was, it freaked them out. They were scared. And the first thing the angel says, hey, don't be scared. I've got good news. You ever had somebody come in the door or walk in the room? They go, good news. What's the first thing that comes into your mind? Good news or bad news? No, what's the news? Good news? Well, what is the news? Tell me. And he says this. He says, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And this is the news, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And this is the one where he says, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this is the one that they had been waiting for. This is the one that the promises of the Old Testament prophets had promised for hundreds of years, that they had been anticipating for all those centuries. He says, good news, he's here. Good news. The one you've been waiting for, the one you've been anticipating, he's come. But it's an interesting message, too. You know, if you had heard that a baby was born, perhaps you would ask, well, whose baby was it? Who's it born to? And you would think that they would have said, well, it was born to Mary and Joseph. Who was the baby born to? Mary and Joseph. But look what he says here. Who does the angel report this baby was born to? To these shepherds working graveyard shift, who in that day and age would have been on the lower rungs of society and culture, working class, common folk. That's who God decided to bring the good news to. And he said, guess what, guys? Hey, unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Unto you and all the people, joy that will be for all the people. And then verse 12, he goes on, he says, and this is how you'll know it's true. This will be a sign for you that you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And he goes on, and then all of a sudden, this multitude of heavenly hosts show up, a bunch more angels show up, and they're worshiping God and praising God. And I can't imagine how the shepherds must have felt. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. And it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, so there comes this point where it's like, it's dark again, maybe. It's quiet. And they're standing there looking at each other, maybe, and they're like, let's go check it out. Let's go see. And he says, let's go see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has made known to us. So they go into Bethlehem, and they show up, and it says when they saw it, they went with haste, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, and when they saw it, they made it known to them, the saying. They go, they show up, they find baby Jesus, and they're like, you'll never believe it. We were out in the fields, and these angels showed up, and they told us that Christ the Lord had been born, and there was going to be a sign, and that we'd find a baby in a manger, so we decided, hey, let's go check it out. So we came and saw him. Here you are, and here he is. Crazy. And then everyone there, it says, wondered. They wondered. Everybody was like, whoa, Wow, amazing.
And then in verse 21, at the end of 8 days, he was circumcised and they called him Jesus. And the name Jesus just means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh being the name of God, the great I am, is salvation or saves. And salvation being what we all need. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the planet, we all need to be saved from our sins, to be saved from our separation from God. Sin leads to death, eternal separation from God in a place called hell. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, and that is why Jesus came, to save us. He's our salvation. And that's how Jesus was born. Crazy story. But I was just asking myself this question, why Christmas? And maybe you've asked that question too. Why is it such a big deal? Why are we all out here tonight when we could be at home hanging out on the recliner? You know, why do we celebrate Christmas the way we do? Why is it a world-recognized holiday and it's such a big deal? Maybe you're like some of the people in verse 18 where it says they wondered. Maybe you hear that story tonight and you're like, wow, that is crazy. Wow, yeah, I wonder, why is it such a big deal anyways? When I was growing up, I went to work with my dad a lot. He worked for a road construction company. And I spent a lot of time riding in trucks, dump trucks, with whatever driver would take me that day of the week. I would just ride around all day long for hours and hours and hours. And back in those days, in the early 90s, we didn't have CD players, MP3s, iPods, iPads, iPhones, Spotify, whatever people listen to these days. But we listened to the radio. And one thing I remember from riding around the trucks is that Paul Harvey was on all the time. I'm talking like, I listened to a lot of Paul Harvey when I was a kid, and I don't remember the story from then, but recently I heard this story that Paul Harvey used to tell every year at Christmas, and I just love it, and I want to share it with you guys tonight. And the story is about a man, and he was a decent man. He was generous to his family, and he was upright in his dealings with others, and you know, he was a good guy, but he just did not believe in the incarnation. He didn't believe in Jesus. He did not believe that God had come to earth as a man, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. And he told his wife on Christmas Eve, he says, honey, I don't mean to upset you, but I just don't want to go to church with you tonight. I really just don't believe all that stuff. And, you know, I just feel like a hypocrite if I just sit there and, you know, sing and do whatever you guys do. I'm just going to stay home. I'll wait up for you. Can't do it. She said, okay, well, that, suit yourself. That's fine. And so she loaded the kids in the car and they drove away. And not long after they had left, snow began to fall and a storm blew in. And the man, he was sitting inside reading his newspaper and he heard this thudding sound on the side of his house. And he went to investigate, and he found a flock of birds in desperate need of shelter from the storm outside, and they had tried to fly in through his picture windows on the front of the house, and they were thudding up against the window, and they had fallen in the snow, and they were disoriented, and a wave of compassion flooded through the man for these birds, and he decided to open up his barn to provide shelter for the birds. And so he put his coat on, his boots on, and he ran outside, opened the barn doors, and turned the light on, and stood there. But the birds wouldn't go in the barn. And so he thought to himself, well, I know what I'll do. I'll shoo the birds in there. So he starts running around and trying to get the birds in the barn, and they just scatter, and they wouldn't go in. And so he thought, well, I know. I'll get some bird seed or breadcrumbs, and I'll make a trail leading into the barn. And birds wouldn't go in. They still just, they wouldn't trust him. They just kept scattering, and they were getting more tired, colder. The snow was blowing in more fiercely. And finally, he realized the birds were afraid of him. And the man reasoned to them, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If there was only some way to get the birds to trust me, only some way to let them know that I don't want to harm them, that I don't want anything from them, that I just want to rescue them. And then he thought to himself, oh, if I could just become a bird, I could be with them and speak their language and mingle with them and show them the way to safety in the barn. And at that moment, as he was standing there contemplating this thought, he heard the church bells ringing out in the distance, ringing in the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow. And we, like those birds, have been caught in a storm. We're disoriented, unable to find refuge in and of ourselves. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 tells us of our condition, the human condition, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're listening online, and you can feel that. You're like, yeah, I can feel that separation from God. I'm sitting in church, I'm listening online, whatever, and it's Christmas Eve and stuff, but I just feel so far from God tonight that I don't know if there's any way he could forgive me or bring me back to himself. But the verse goes on in Ephesians 2, and it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Amen. God, in his mercy and compassion, saw us, how we were caught, and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll become one of them. So they can see me, hear me, feel me, experience me, know me. He was born into this world, which is what we celebrate tonight. He lived a perfectly righteous life, fulfilling the law. He lived a life that none of us could live. And he died the death that we all deserve on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he offers by grace a free gift of eternal life. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life as a gift. He just offers it to us by what he's done. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And just like when someone gives you a gift at Christmas, you guys have Christmas gifts at home under the tree? Kids, you guys have any? Oh, yeah. What do you do when somebody gives you a gift? You can shout it out loud. You open it. Yeah, you rip and tear. You open up the gift. You don't leave it under the tree. You don't try to pay somebody for it. Oh, here, let me give you $20 for that. Yeah, I think, no. You just go, thank you. You receive it and you open it. And that's the same thing. The same thing is true of forgiveness of sins. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how we receive that gift. It's just to call on the name of the Lord and say, I want to receive that gift. I know you're offering it to me freely. And tonight I call on your name and I want to receive that. Please forgive me. Please come into my life. That's all it takes. And the Lord will come into your life and forgive you. And the good news that the angels reported on the night of the birth of Jesus, did you know that it still holds true tonight? That good news that he said, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you and you and you and me. Unto me is born a Savior. I'm so thankful that God gave his one and only Son for me. And I know that
most of us in here are probably Christians, that most of us in here have received that, have called on the name of the Lord tonight. But perhaps there's someone listening, or perhaps there's someone here visiting. Maybe you're hearing this for the first time, or maybe you're really hearing it in your heart for the first time. I want to just lead us in a simple prayer where you can ask God in your own words. It just, all it is a prayer saying, telling God you're sorry, repenting of your sins, saying, I want to turn from my sins and turn to you, believe in his sacrifice for you, and ask him to come into your life and forgive you, and he will. And so you can just, I'm just going to lead us in that simple prayer. If you want to do that tonight, you can do that with me now. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for being born. Thank you for living to save me, for dying to pay for my sins, and for raising from the dead to prove that you are who you say you are. Please come into my life. Please save me. Please forgive me and help me to follow you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a simple prayer like that. That's all you have to do. And he'll save you. It's a free gift of God. And for the rest of us, as we go home, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. But as we go home, let's just consider tonight that gift that God has given each one of us, the gift of his Son. The humble circumstances in which he came into this world. And not only does he offer us abundant life here now, but eternal life in the life to come. Let's just remember him tonight. And as we do go home, we're going to sing some more songs. But as we're going to open presents, perhaps tonight, perhaps in the morning, consider the coming of Christ, consider what he's done. Remember this, now you know the rest of the story. I've been waiting all week to do that. So let's praise him. Let's be like the heavenly hosts of the angels. They showed up and just praised God. Amen. Praise him for his coming to this planet. Father, thank you so much that you came on that dark night to those shepherds who probably weren't expecting anything but just a simple night out with the sheep, and you showed up and gave them the greatest news that anyone could hear. And Lord, we want to receive that same news tonight, because your word says that we read it tonight. It's for all people. Unto us a child is born, who is the Savior, Christ the Lord. And we rejoice in that tonight. And we just lift up our praises tonight, Lord, to you. In Jesus' name, amen.